Welcome to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three of the VSiN Weekend Morning Line as we're continuing to get you ready for a busy Sunday ahead. The French Open Final continuing, third set over on the clay of Roland Garros. Carlos Alcaraz right now up 2-1 in that third set. However, Jannik Sinner took the first two sets, including a tiebreak in the second set. He is continuing to be a massive favorite, up two sets to love. He's minus $5. Once upon a time, get out to minus 2,000, and Alcaraz was 10-1 on the other side. So we will keep our eyes on that. College baseball about to get underway, and just recapping real quickly with these games about to start in this noon window, one of the best bets from our guy Matt Grissom, he did like Miami on the run line as they are the underdog today, plus a run and a half, and that game about to get underway there in Louisville. Winner heads to the College World Series. The College World Series in the women's side was in Oklahoma City, and that's where we head for Game 2 tonight, Oklahoma City and Indiana. And to help us break it down from the Action Network as well as the Locked On NBA podcast, follow him on social media at HP Basketball, is Matt Moore, who joins us right now courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. And Matt, there was so much to digest, and it was almost, you know, as this might be a little bit contrarian, it was almost nice that we had two full days to kind of pick and pull from what we saw in game number one. So let's jump to the total here, because I know you do have a bet on the total for this game, as right now sits at 228.5 across the market. Game one went under. First half was an easy winner if you played that. Second half, we started to get the pace uptick a little bit. What do you expect today from a total standpoint, where it's sitting at 228, a slight adjustment from where it closed in game one at 229.5?
Yeah, a lot of movement early on this one, back up to the over, a lot of public sharp action as well on the over here. Not surprising, just given that you saw how the Indiana was able to score in that second half. But one thing I think that it's kind of discounting is how well the Pacers are playing defensively. They continue to be, I think, the most underrated unit, if we're going to put that in those terms, is their defense, I think, is better than what the market's expecting. There was some value to be had in the Knicks series and the Cavs series playing it that way. For the Thunder, I think the concern here is, like, if the Thunder do bounce back here, and the trends are a little bit mixed on that, if they do bounce back here, they likely force a lot of turnovers and score better off of those turnovers than they did in game one, and that's going to push up the pace and the scoring. So it is a little bit tricky here, but I continue to think this is a little bit high. I just think that the Pacers are a little bit more willing to play half-court offense, possession for possession, than I think people think. The Pacers play with a lot of intentionality, and they get into their sets quickly. They don't necessarily shoot as fast as people think that they do. They'll take transition layups if you give them, but the Thunder aren't going to give them. And the Pacers were able to play great transition defense of their own in game one. I think this total is a little inflated. I like the under here at 228.
Talking to Matt Moore, joining us courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line, running through his best bets. You can read them over at the Action Network. It's right there at the top of their NBA page, so check that out if you want to run through them. We're going to talk about them as well. But I do want to hit on just what you expect to be corrected. I asked this to JVT last hour, where you look at the shooting strength there from the Pacers, 10 of 20 from three in the second half, 10 of 16 on those corner threes, and then the Thunder really struggling, as you alluded to, turning those turnovers into points. I believe it was 4 of 22 from the field, a couple of turnover as well. So as you look at it and this chess match that is the NBA Finals, what do you, Matt, expect to change? Do you think the Thunder cool off a little bit? The Pacers cool off? Did the Thunder, Matt, get a little bit better from shooting in the paint, turning these turnovers into buckets? What's your expectation of adjustments from game one to two?
The Thunder spacing will probably be a little bit better here. One thing that was really interesting is how much the Pacers were able to kind of funnel Shai Gilgeous-Alexander into certain spots. Like, they gave him the lane. That's why he got so many layups. Was like, they gave him the lane at the risk of saying, hey, we're going to take away your passing options. We're going to try and limit you from a playmaker standpoint. And that was really effective. So the question is, the Thunder have talked a lot about how they're going to improve their spacing concepts to be able to kind of counter that. I think they'll hunt Tyrese Haliburton a little bit less, because they went a little bit crazy trying to hunt him down especially late in that game, trying to get him involved in every single action. And they created some good looks off of it, but not great looks. So I think you're going to see maybe a little bit more balanced offense from OKC on Indiana's side. I am curious to see whether they go to a zone in this one. No zone in game one, which I thought was really interesting. So I'm curious to see whether or not they kind of go in that direction here in game two to try and, you know, once again, gum up things for the Thunder. I also think we're probably going to see less small ball from OKC. I think that Mark Dagenal got a little bit ahead of himself. I think we're going to see probably a little bit more small ball here. I actually wouldn't be surprised to see Chet Holmgren more as the single big in some situations. He played badly. He can just play better. And if he just plays better, they probably win this game. So a lot of things, I think, for both teams to kind of look at in this one should be an interesting chess match.
Once again, Matt Moore joining us here, courtesy of our progressive guest line at HP Basketballs, where you can follow him on social media, NBA writer for the Action Network. Check out his podcast as well, part of the Locked On Network, the Locked On NBA podcast. All right, let's get to a couple of the props that you've bet. And Obi Toppin, 5 3-pointers in game one. It's funny how the game started for him, right? A couple of ugly turnovers, but then kind of settled down, hits a bunch of threes. 17 points, 5 boards. Right now, DraftKings has it 14.5 over minus 120 on points and rebounds, and that's the way you're looking here tonight.
Yeah, so I thought it was interesting. The Thunder really kind of disrespected Obi Toppin. They were very much like, yeah, whatever. Toby can do whatever he wants. We're not worried about Obi Toppin. And he made him pay. And I think you're going to continue to kind of see that in this game, because I don't think that Mark Dagenal is going to necessarily change his approach that much in this game. Maybe he goes away from starting single big. Maybe he goes away from those no big lineups. But as far as the scheme plan, I don't think they're going to change on Obi Toppin. I think they're going to live with Obi Toppin being open from the perimeter, and Obi can shoot if he's left wide open on catch and shoot opportunities. He's got the athleticism to get out in transition and finish, even if the OKC Thunder do get back, as they are so good at transition defense. So I like Obi Toppin here over on points and rebounds. Also think it's possible that he's going to be able to match up a little bit better on the rebounding side as well if they go single big.
Once again, Matt Moore helping us break down game two of the NBA Finals. Tyrese Haliburton becoming one of the most clutch players we've seen, at least in this particular NBA postseason, Matt. But you look at his assists, you've seen moments this postseason where he's gone for 15 or 14 assists. Right now, you're coming off game one, 6 assists. What did you make of how the Thunder guarded him in game one? What do you expect tonight? And does that lead to a play for you on his assist prop?
So two different kind of schemes they did. They primarily played switch, and they primarily played drop with Chet Holmgren on him. And if you play drop with OKC, you're basically just like cutting off assist angles. There's going to be no easy passes. You're not going to get back cuts for lobs. You're not going to get kickouts because they're going to stay home. So that takes away a lot of what Haliburton's able to do in the half court. In transition, the Thunder are so good at high pickup points and staying out on shooters to not allow transition threes. That takes away a large number of Haliburton's assists throughout the course of the playoffs. Then on the other side of it is when they switch, when they run guard and they run switch on him, Haliburton tends to get disengaged a little bit. He tends to pass off, especially if they put a big on him. He'll actually just give the ball to Nembhard and get out of the way, because that pulls a rim protector out of the paint. And OKC loves to jam that paint up. So Haliburton's not going to force the issue here the way that necessarily like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander would in this kind of situation. So I like the under on his assist. It was a good look in before the series. It was a good look in game one. I'm going back to it here in game two, under 8.5 assists.
Yeah, he went under in that one, has 6 assists in game number one. And look around, you might varying numbers out there, so make sure to check that. I was reading through your column there that broke down those three bets that we've discussed, and then we got a little weird, and that's what I like. You know, role players, especially at home, what are you going to see from them? So give us a little bit of the off-the-radar bet that you threw in your action write-up earlier today.
Yeah, Isaiah Joe, over 6.5 PRA. So in these playoffs, you've seen Mark Dagenal play Kendrick Williams out of nowhere in a game one spot versus the Wolves. You've seen him play AJ Mitchell, a rookie, in game one. He's not afraid to test out his rotation. And one thing that was really glaringly apparent in that second half court offense for OKC was that they didn't have enough shot creation on the floor. That, you know, they had Shai and J-Dub, and then that's it. And that's all they really had in terms of guys that can create. Alex Caruso, I thought, really struggled in that respect. Joe's not a bad defender. He's a good shooter, and he can also create off the bounce. He's actually taken on a lot more this season with being able to run the second unit offense. They need another creator on the floor. So to me, it makes sense for them to make an adjustment and play Joe a little bit more. This is a low number at 6.5 PRA. Talking about a couple dimes, a free throw, and a three. That to me is good enough to get me here on Isaiah Joe over 6.5 PRA.
Big picture, Matt, before I let you run, did your opinion change on how this series plays out? What was your pre-series prediction, and where are you right now?
Thunder in five, bye-bye. That was that one is not looking great.
It's still alive. It's still alive, you know.
Still alive. Can always hope. I will tell you, one of the things that happened was I made a power rating adjustment just for Thunder home court before game one, because I was like, look, they've been so dominant. Favorites at home in the playoff, in the finals. That is an awesome spot. Let's upgrade that. Yeah, that did not work out well because I was actually leaning towards Pacers in terms of the power rating before that. So I took off that adjustment here, and now I'm back to where it's like the Pacers have a little bit of value. I do think that there's a possibility of them stealing game two. They've been so good in these game twos, and everyone's like, oh, well, surely the other team will bounce back and win. And he doesn't care. They just play all the way to the buzzer. And there's a good chance, I think, that they can actually steal this game. And if not, I think they are very alive for the series. I would still say Thunder in six from a basketball perspective, but from a market perspective, I think the only way to really find value is on Indiana right now.
Matt, great stuff. I know you're working your butt off every which way in all your forums. So we appreciate you jumping on today.
Anytime. Thanks.
There he is. Matt Moore, Action Network, Locked On NBA podcast, and also on Twitter at HP Basketball. Hey, folks, if you're looking to come out to Vegas this summer, how about this offer that Circa's got going right now? $400. It's the all-in ultimate getaway. Two-night stay at Circa, $100 dining credit, $100 beverage credit, and your very own day bed. Head on over to CircaLasVegas.com to lock in your all-in summer package today.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Yes, indeed, it is a Sunday morning. I'm Tim Murray, live from the Circa Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. College baseball underway. Some winner-take-all games right now as North Carolina taking on Arizona. Our guy Jensen Lewis down there on the call of said series, and he'll be back tomorrow on VSiN by the Books, bright and early with Dave Ross, as North Carolina hopefully gets this victory and advances to the College World Series, as I did take a little nibble on the Tar Heels. I think they call them the Diamond Heels, to win the College World Series prior to the Super Regionals. 18-2 win was nice. 10-8 loss, not so nice. So they are on the pitch on the diamond right now. Arizona and North Carolina also going on right now. We've got two other games, and one of them is a winner-take-all, Louisville and Miami. That game underway scoreless as that one heads to the bottom of the first, and Duke off to a good start over Murray State. They lead 2-0. The Blue Devils trying to get to the College World Series for the first time, I think I have this right, since 1961. So three games today. We'll recap the best bets from Matt Grissom in the final segment of the show. Wes Reynolds is going to join us in less than 15 minutes. I think he's going to like what he heard just a moment ago from Matt Moore. He said they're live tonight. He wouldn't be surprised if the Pacers pull off the victory here this evening as 11-point dogs. They, and I'm going to sum up what Matt said in my thought process too, they just don't care, man. Like, in a good way. Like, oh, we're down 20? Whatever. We can battle out of this. And that's what I think back to Thursday night. Humans and I were sitting here on primetime, and we'll be back tomorrow night on primetime as well, 7 to 11 p.m., and we focus a lot of that program right now, at least this part of the year, on live betting, right? And neither one of us thought that the Pacers would come back, and I guess that was our mistake because they ultimately did, and that's what they tend to do. They don't make sense, and they just keep fighting and fighting and fighting. Maybe like Carlos Alcaraz. Could we see he be a Pacer today? As Carlos Alcaraz dropped the first two sets, 6-4, 7-6. He is up 4-2 in the third set. Not that long ago, ladies and gentlemen, right after Sinner won the second set tiebreak, he moved out to a minus 2,000 favorite in this match And as we sit here right this moment at DraftKings, I'm pulling up the live line right now. Center's still the favorite, but minus 215. From minus 2,000 down to minus 215. Isn't it funny? I need to do this more. And this is how riveting my life is. Maybe I'm just going to sit at home and just watch the live lines of tennis matches because it's fascinating to me. We were talking about it yesterday morning, and I did not see what the price was when Sabalenka won the first set over Coco Gauff, but there were some juicy numbers out there, and Coco ultimately came back. And now, Jannik Sinner, who went off as a minus 115 favorite, has been the favorite pretty much all throughout this match. And when they went to the tiebreak, it was like down to minus 165 or so. Won the tiebreak, back up to around minus 2,000, minus 1,400. And now here we sit, minus 215 for Sinner as he and Carlos Alcaraz head to the eighth game of the third set. Alcaraz up 5-2. So he will be trying to break Sinner for that set. And hopefully that's the case, because then my prediction of this match not wrapping up before we sign off the air will come to fruition. All right, let's get back to tonight, because we've got game two, and the Indiana Pacers are trying to do what has only really been done once before, which is, as a dog of plus 250 or more, win the NBA Finals. It just does not happen. Outside of 2004, when the Detroit Pistons, as 5-1 dogs, went out and beat the Lakers in five games. They take game one. They come from behind, 94-79. You know that by now. And Rick Carlisle's been there. He led the Dallas Mavericks, not as improbable, but to an improbable NBA Finals victory as an underdog. They beat the Miami Heat back in 2011. He's been there before, so he's familiar of the day-to-day of the NBA Finals. Rick Carlisle on those adjustments heading into game two.
Each game in this series is gonna look different. I mean, every game in every other series we've played, it's just, you know, a playoff series is a series of seven chapters, you know, and each one takes on a different personality. Look, we, you know, we don't want Shea getting 38 points, you know, if we can avoid it. We don't want him living on the free throw line. We don't want him getting easy threes. You know,
when you look at Shea Gilgeous-Alexander for tonight, over under on points, 33.5 juiced over, finished with 38, as you heard Rick Carlisle mention there. And one thing that I thought was pretty interesting, and I'm rehashing what we heard from Chris Miles of NBA TV yesterday, which was the demeanor of this Thunder team following the collapse. We'll call it what it was. Up 15, 9 minutes to go, got to win that game. And maybe they took their foot off the gas pedal. But the demeanor of this team following losses has been impressive. They've only lost five times in this postseason. The previous four times, they came back, they won the next game. They only covered two of those. They covered the first half in all four, covered the first quarter in three of those four. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, the MVP of the league, on heading into a game two down 1-0.
I let the game go as soon as I, like, learned the lessons from it. As soon as I watch film, take what I need to take from it, and we do as a group. After that, I let it go because the lessons are learned. There's nothing else you can do. And then, honestly, the team has the same demeanor. So there's no, like, this team makes it easy. You don't have to rile guys up or lock guys in. Like, we all have the same goal in mind, and we all know what it takes to win games. And we just, that's what's on the focus of our mind. And that's what we are focused on the next day. Like, the being better and trying to win the next one.
Look, when you're the MVP of the league, you get criticized for dumb stuff. He dropped 38 points. I didn't think he played great. Thought he was good. Thought he was forcing it a bit. 14 of 30 from the field. But also, when your other two stars, Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren, specifically Chet Holmgren, are kind of no-shows, maybe you need to force it a little bit more, do a little bit more. I still, because he's so damn good, and inside the arc, it just feels like every time he takes a jumper inside the perimeter, he's going to make it. I still am stunned that he missed that bunny with about 8 feet at the end of regulation. But that's who they are. That's how they've responded throughout this postseason. I think they do it again in the first half, but am I racing to a lay 11? No. Am I going to lay 11? No. I think you get a great performance from them, and maybe I'm just too blinded by what we've seen from the Pacers throughout this postseason, but that is who they are, this improbable run. Now they've won three straight game ones on the road, which is wild to think about. The comebacks that they've had against the Bucks in game five, against the Cavs in game two, against the Knicks in game one, and now the Thunder in game one, it's who they tend to be, right? Miles Turner in game one there for the Indiana Pacers. When you look at his numbers, 15 points, 9 boards. Did have 6 turnovers. Wasn't pretty for Miles Turner, but ultimately they got the win. Let's hear from him as they head into game two.
When you get to this time of the year, you don't switch up, you know, what you do. So we know this is a younger team. You know, it's a team that kind of has the same philosophy as us, but, you know, it's just in the fourth quarter when you get picked up full court, or, you know, you get word on the bid, like those shots are a lot harder to hit. You know, I mean, the threes that you've been hitting all game are a little bit different than the last 3 minutes of the game when you're a little more tired. So, you know, I think that it's overall philosophy thing, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you got to continue to keep grinding it out.
Apparently they aren't, because the Pacers went 10 of 20 from three in the second half, which is just, I do think there's a little bit of shooting regression, but it almost feels like we're getting to the point where, and I'm not, you know, I leave that to JVT and so many others that, you know, break down the numbers and go in. You're kind of throwing up your hands at this point. And JVT and Matt Moore kind of agreed, right? Neither one of them have, I don't believe, gone to the window with Pacers plus 11. But they're looking at that saying, it's kind of the way I'm looking at it right now. The one thing that JVT did go to the window was Chet Holmgren over 23.5 points and rebounds. He was bad in game one. 6 points and 6 rebounds, 2 of 9 from the field, only played 24 minutes. Let's hear from Chet as he hopes to bounce back in game two tonight.
One single difference on one single play could have decided the game throughout the ball game. So it puts a magnifying glass on every single instance in the game. And, you know, I feel like everybody was kind of feeling that on where they could do better. And, you know, we just got to continue to try and clean those up as the series goes on. You know, the Pacers are going to try and do better each game, so we got to do the same.
Thunder looking to bounce back. Will they? We'll talk to Wes Reynolds coming up on the other side of the break. He's certainly hoping they do not. Hey, folks, football season, as you know it, right around the corner. No better time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. And if you sign up for a full year for $199, you will also get a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum. So head on over to VSiN.com/subscribe and use the promo code BOOK. A man who was yelling, "Yes, sir," after game one, Wes Reynolds. He joins us next.
Tuned in to the VSiN Weekend Morning Line.
Carlos Alcaraz trying to take the third set over in Paris as Jannik Sinner took the first set 6-4, took the second set 7-6, and Alcaraz has indeed on a triple set point taken the third set. So we get a fourth set here, and Jannik Sinner, who was minus 2,000 at DraftKings after winning the second set tiebreak, is now minus 250. So Carlos Alcaraz responds, wins the third set 6-4. We head to a fourth set over at Roland Garros there on the clay. I could just envision right now Wes Reynolds out there sliding like these elite tennis players on the clay of Carmel, Indiana at some point. Is there any clay courts, Wes Reynolds, in Carmel, Indiana?
There may be, Tim. There used to be. They used to have the clay court championship, actually, the U.S. championships at the Indianapolis Tennis Center as a young boy that I used to go watch in the early 1980s. But then they went to hard courts. But I don't know if I could move like these guys. I think I'd just fall and have a bunch of red clay in my mouth as it looks like we are going to get a fourth set here in Roland Garros.
Yeah, Sinner now doing minus $2 favorite. So once again, I'm so fixated on watching these odds move. I haven't bet any of it, but I just Carlos Alcaraz was 10-1 for a brief moment after dropping that second set. So on to the fourth set we go. Sinner still up 2-1, trying to win the French Open. The Pacers, as you rock your Pacers gear here, trying to go up 2-0 in the NBA Finals and try to really join the fraternity of Detroit from 2004. That's it, of being this massive an underdog. So, you know, I'm going to continue to harp on the same questions that I've been asking throughout the day, which is, what regresses, both positive and negatively? Let's start with the Pacers, where the turnovers were brutal, right? Wes, 25 turnovers, can't do that. However, they shot the ball exceptionally well from the corner, 10 of 16 corner threes, 10 of 20 from three in the second half. This is the best three-point shooting team in the NBA postseason, and it continued and showed on Thursday night. So what regresses tonight? Shooting? Turnovers, a little bit of both. What do you feel from a Pacers standpoint?
Tim, I know we want to say shooting's going to regress, but I don't really think it was like necessarily the percentages or it was necessarily a quote unquote lucky shots in the fourth quarter. I think it was the Pacers in the second half being more quick and being more decisive. And that's when they're at their best. You know, it's okay to shoot it early in the shot clock if it's a good look. And that's what the Pacers did. I thought in the first half, and we talked about it briefly on your program on Thursday night during the half. It was kind of like they were like searching for the perfect shot, right? You know, and they were probably overpassing. They were certainly over dribbling. And when you over dribble against the Oklahoma City Thunder, they're going to take the ball away from you. So, you know, when they have 19 turnovers in the first half, half of them were just carelessness and half of them were forced because Oklahoma City, they've got a lot of long defenders that can take the ball away from you. And that's why they found themselves into a hole. But, you know, I would think that the turnovers are going to regress, that they're going to take a little bit better care of the ball. Now, I don't know if they go 10 of 16 on corner threes, like you mentioned, but they've got to keep being quick and decisive. You know, you can't wait because we know that this team is so good defensively, arguably the best defensive team in the league by a bunch of different metrics. You don't want them to get set. So you want to get up and down the floor. And if they're not going to challenge you, and in terms of going for the offensive glass, which you can't really do because you got to get back on defense. But you saw that the Thunder got out-rebounded by a ton on Thursday night because only Dort, I think, of the regular starters were regularly crashing the glass. So, you know, if they're not going to do that, the Pacers got to get up and down the floor and, I think, take quicker and more decisive shots.
So we've seen with the Pacers, and if you look at the last series, when they won, the total tended to go over. I know game two against the Knicks, I believe, went under the closing number. But if you looked at the game six total, really the correlation was Pacers win over, Knicks won under. And then you look at game one, and it was a high total, right? It was 230 and a half. I know you played first half under, which was an easy cash. But they were able to come back and win an under game. So any thought on the total? We've seen a little bit of adjustment. 229.5 is where we closed game one. 228.5 is where we're at right now, Wes. Any thoughts on what to expect tonight from a total standpoint?
Yeah, I would slightly lean a little bit to the under, but it is, like you said, you know, sort of correlated because the over is 9-4 when Indiana wins here in the playoffs. And, you know, like I said, being quick and decisive and getting that pace up in terms of the shots and the shot volume. But if the Thunder win, that's where they generate a lot of turnovers like they did in game number one, especially in the first half, and actually can score off them. That was kind of the problem for Oklahoma City. They did not take good shots, you know, really off these turnovers, because you felt like when it was 57-45, I believe was the halftime score, you felt like Oklahoma City should have been up by like 18 or 20. And therein lies the problem, I think, for the Thunder. And the reason why you win 68 games in the regular season and kind of run, I don't want to say easily through the Western Conference because you got taken seven games by Denver, but the other two series were relatively easy, is because you have a big margin. You have a big margin late in the fourth quarter, which they did not. The Pacers kind of hung around, you know, 7, 8, 9 points. And then when they hang around like that, they're at some point going to make a run. And the problem, I think, for Oklahoma City, and you saw it in the fourth quarter, they got a little stagnant offensively because they're so used to being in the lead. They're not used to being in these close games. And then it comes to, you know, quote unquote, nut cutting time. You've got one guy that's a closer. And that's Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And look, that's a good problem to have, is to have the MVP of the league. And they defer to him. I don't think that they trust, like, Jalen Williams or Lou Dort or any of these guys, Wallace or Holmgren, late in the game. It's always going to be Shea. And that's, I think, something that the Thunder are going to have to deal with going forward in this series.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Wes Reynolds joining us here, courtesy of our Progressive Guest Line. Just a little promo. We won't talk it here, but certainly U.S. Open coverage aplenty coming up this week from Wes, from Kelly, from Matt Brown. Long shots, the podcast. Wes will have his write-up on VSiN.com before Mr. Reynolds hits the airwaves and flies to Indianapolis to catch out his beloved Pacers there in the NBA Finals. Look, I've gone through it, today, and you look at how Oklahoma City, Wes, has responded this postseason when they've lost games. They're 4-0 ATS in the first half, but guess what? Books aren't dummies. You're paying the tax up to 8 right now. They're 2-2 ATS full game. Knowing this Pacers team, no thanks. I'm not trusting anyone against this cockroach team in a positive way. They just keep coming back and coming back and coming back. Anything side that you like here in this game tonight?
Yeah, well, I'm not laying double digits against the cardiac kids, the Pacers. I think that's dangerous, even though I understand why it's being bet forward, because you would expect Oklahoma City's like, okay, we let one get away, guys. Yep. So you expect that they would come out with a massive sense of urgency, I think, to at least get this one-to-one tie. So I think that all makes sense, right? But I don't think I'm going to bet the side. One thing I did bet, I'm going to probably have a couple props on this game. One that I do like, actually, is Tyrese Halliburton under points and assists, and I liked it in game one. It did go under because I think that we do forget, because Halliburton, of course, made the clutch shot as he done all postseason. He had 14 points, 10 rebounds, and only 6 assists. So he had a relatively pedestrian, if you want to call it, a quiet game. And now you're getting the points and assists, I think, at under 25.5, close 26.5 in game number one. I still think that this is a tough spot for Tyrese and what Oklahoma City is going to do. They're going to pick him up. They're going to try to get the ball out of his hands. So I think that Tyrese Halliburton on the under, if you believe in the spread, that's another way to kind of bet Oklahoma City, is to bet Tyrese, the quote-unquote overrated Tyrese Halliburton on the under on the prop tonight.
Yeah, I think we could put that one to bed now. 24.5 right now at DraftKings, juiced minus 105 to the under on that prop. So that would be the way you're going to play it. VSiN.com/picks. You can check out his plays. Real quickly, I did sell you throw a bet into the picks page for today, a little baseball action. Give us your thoughts on Dodgers Cardinals here in the final minute.
Yeah, I did play the over. Clayton Kershaw, still working his way back from the injury. He's had a couple starts, but just walking too many guys. Cardinals looks like they're going with the opener, with McGreevy getting the start. Been a couple low scoring games here in St. Louis. The Dodgers offense has sputtered a little bit, but I think they get going today, and more often than not I'm going to play Sunday unders, because it's a getaway game usually for both teams. But not today. I think the Dodgers and the Cardinals get the sticks out and go over.
Yeah, we're starting to see the market react that way. Open 9, now out to 9.5, juiced under at a number of spots. Wes, always appreciate it, sir. And best of luck tonight for your Pacers. And we'll be looking forward to the U.S. Open coverage this week.
You bet, Tim. Thanks for having me.
There he is, Wes Reynolds, at Wes Reynolds 1. And once again, U.S. Open coverage will start, I'm sure, early this week. The Long Shots podcast, as well as write-ups over at VSiN.com. Hey, do you like free stuff? I like free stuff. Guess what? How about a free entry into Circa Millions or Circa Survivor Winner Circle Proxy, giving away a one free $1,000 entry for each proxy service? Enter now. For your chance to win, head on over to winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN. winnercircleproxy.com/VSIN.
You're tuned in to the VSIN Weekend Morning Line.
Thankfully, my prediction will get home. The Yannick Sinner, Carlos Alcaraz French Open final will not be over before I sign off these airwaves, because it's the last segment. Coming up next is Ready, Set, Bet. Matt Brown and Mike Somich will have you covered here on VSiN. Let's get you updated, though, on what's happening over on the clay at Roland Garros as Jannik Sinner took the first two sets, 6-4, 7-6, winning that tiebreaker. Served for the set at 5-3. He was broken by Alcaraz. They went to a tiebreak. He won said tiebreak, and then he became an enormous favorite, around minus 2,000 for a moment at DraftKings, quickly went to minus 1,400. And now, after Carlos Alcaraz took the third set, it's back to minus 240 for Sinner, plus 195 for Alcaraz. Remember, this match opened, or closed, I should say, Sinner minus 115. Thomas Gable mentioned it was even money for Alcaraz at their shop. I think minus 105 at some other shops. But it was essentially a pick'em coin toss for this match. And it has been very entertaining to watch. And we are in the fourth set right now. It will not be over by the time I sign off these airwaves. So Matt Brown and Mike Somich will have to have you covered for the final of the French Open there. But it has been as entertaining as we would have hoped. Right now, Jannik Sinner, a minus 185 favorite. So even coming down a little bit more against Carlos Alcaraz. College baseball underway. We've got three winner-take-all games today. And two of them are underway. Arizona leading 1-0 over North Carolina. The Diamond Heels right now trying to get back to the College World Series. That would be nice for me because I did bet a future on North Carolina prior to the start of this Super Regional. And then when they were up 18-2 in game one, I was feeling pretty good about myself. And then they lost yesterday. So hopefully not a case. I believe it was last year where Arkansas won the Super Regional game one, like 21-2 or something like that, and then ultimately did not advance to the College World Series. So hopefully that's not the case today. Jensen Lewis, our guy, on the call there on ESPN2 of UNC and Arizona. 1-0 Wildcats right now. That one in the bottom of the third. A best bet from earlier in the show was Miami on the run line. Miami, the dog today. So our guy Matt Grissom, like Miami, +1.5 runs. And here's good news for Mr. Grissom. Miami just went yard. 2-0 lead now for the Miami Hurricanes as that one in the third inning. So Miami takes the first lead there, top of the third. And I believe they're reviewing it, so I did not watch what unfolded there. And then how about this? Surname State, Murray State, the Racers up 5-2. Just hit a two-run blast there in Durham. Duke up 1-0 in that series, so that is not a winner-take-all. Murray State now a -$1.75 favorite over Duke as they lead 5-2. If you think the Blue Devils will come back, +135. So let's get into some best bets here for college baseball. And these are all courtesy of Matt Grissom. You could read about him over on vsin.com. He came on the show earlier today, had a couple of bets, and they're already in action. He had Miami. He had Duke as part of a money line parlay, so not a great start for that money line parlay with Louisville. But the two other best bets that he did have that are still to come tonight, so let's hit on those. And as always, our best bets brought to you by our friends over at GBank. He is going to go with UTSA, the Roadrunners. He thinks the Roadrunners out in L.A. today get the victory against UCLA and force a deciding game three. And as we look at right now where we are from an odds standpoint heading into that one, you can get a little plus money on the Roadrunners, +110 out there at a number of shops. So he's on UTSA as a best bet. He also thinks Florida State on the road at Oregon State wins tonight. So that is another best bet for him. You could read them all over at vsin.com. So the two best bets courtesy of Grissom, college baseball related today, still to come. He's gone Florida State on the money line, looks like around minus 110 or so. You could find the Seminoles there. And then he also likes the plus money on UTSA to take care of business there. And as always, as mentioned, our best bets brought to you by our friends over at GBank. And right now they're introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. Hey, that's us. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 at First Bet to trigger the $500 trifecta. You'll receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. And then, hey, here we are at VSIN. We complete the trifecta with a free VSIN Pro subscription through October 31st. That's a value of $200. $500. So the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSIN. Head over to VSIN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. This one-time promotion is limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and will not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. All right. Let's hit on our best bets for Game 2 tonight of the NBA Finals. Thunder right now an 11-point favorite. How about a little under money coming into the market? We had Matt Moore on earlier in this hour. One of his best bets was under 228.5. Right now, Circa sitting at 227. So a big move there to the under. And before we get to these best bets, let's hear from the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder, Mark Daigneault, as he is looking for and expecting his team to bounce back as they have every single time they've lost this postseason, 4-0 straight up after a loss. Let's hear from the head coach of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
We have confidence and wisdom because of the situations we've been in over time. There's no team I'm more confident in being ready to play really in any situation than ours. I'm biased, obviously, but you also have to go make it happen. You know, those experiences don't guarantee you anything. They certainly don't carry over into the next experience. And so we've got the wisdom from them. We get the confidence from them. But when the ball goes up in the air tomorrow, the better team's going to win. And we want to do everything we can to be that team.
All right. We'll see if they bounce back here tonight. Take a look at our betting splits over at VSiN.com. The public, at least from a ticket standpoint at DraftKings, is expecting Indiana to cover again. 71% of bets on the Pacers plus the 11, but 54% of the handle on the Oklahoma City Thunder. About split right down the middle on the money line percentages. 62% of bets, 72% of the money on the over in that one. Over at Circa, 67% of bets and 65% of handle on the Indiana Pacers, plus the 11, and 86% of bets on the Pacers on the money line. So there you go there. Quick update, by the way, the Diamond Heels have now taken a 3-1 lead over Arizona as that one in the fourth inning. Jackson Van De Breek hit a 3-run homer. I have no idea if I announced that name correctly, but I will think that I did, as he had a 3-run shot there in the third inning. Best bets for tonight. Let's run through them. What we've heard on the show. Start with my best bet. Is it a bit square? Sure. Am I paying the tax? I readily admit that. But what have we seen from the Thunder in the first half after losses? 4-0 ATS. We'll go through it quickly. Game 2 against Denver. They were up 87-56 at the half. That one applies, I think, the most to tonight, where you lose a game at home, you win. Game 4. At Denver, up 42-36 at half, laying 5. Game 7, home against Denver, laying 5.5, up 60-46 at half. Game 4, at Minnesota, 65-57 lead at the break, laying 1. The Cardiac Kids, the Cockroaches, however you want to define the Pacers, I don't really want to mess with 11 points in this one. So give me the first half. I laid 7.5. Would still lay the 8. That's probably as far as I would go. Best bets from JVT. His best bet on this game, he expects a bounce back from Chet Holmgren. Holmgren had 6.6 boards in game 1 to only play 24 minutes. The expectation, he should play much more here this evening and be more effective. So JVT going over Chet points and rebounds, that one sitting at, I believe, 23.5. We just heard from Wes Reynolds. He is going on the fade of Tyrese Halliburton. He's going to go under Halliburton's points and assists. Right now, sitting at DraftKings at 24.5 is the best bet from Wes Reynolds. And then Matt Moore, earlier this hour, he gave out under 228.5. Well, that number is on the move right now as we speak, as the Circa market moved to 227. Still some 228s out there. Actually, 228.5 still out there at DraftKings. So he's under 228.5. Obi Toppin over 14.5 points and rebounds under Tyrese Halliburton. Assists, 8.5. And then a little wacky one, Isaiah Joe over points, rebounds, and assists, 6.5. Those courtesy of Matt Moore. So there you go. Some best bets for Game 2 of the NBA Finals. I am rolling with, as mentioned, the first half Oklahoma City Thunder -7.5. We did that yesterday when there were still some 7.5s out there in the market. Enjoy the games today. Enjoy the tennis. Thank you, Jannik Sinner and Carlos Alcaraz, for making me sound slightly smart, as this one will not conclude. 2-2 in that fourth set right now between Sinner and Alcaraz. Coming up next, you've got Ready, Set, Bet with Mike Somich and Matt Brown. I'm Tim Murray. I'm back tomorrow night with VSiN Primetime at 7 p.m. Eastern right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.